Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Richard Harpham, CEO of XP Factory. XPF is ticker. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Morning, Justin. Hope you're well.
Yeah, and it's good to speak to you. As people know, I own some stock in XP Factory. Very excited about the company. Now, you've just released your interim results a few weeks back, looking very good. Before we get into that in a bit more detail of other stuff, what's going on, for people maybe not familiar, Richard, with XP Factory, can you explain, summarise the business, please?
Yeah, of course. So XP Factory, the Experience Factory, is the umbrella company, if you like, that we have over and above our two trading brands. So we trade two brands, Escape Hunt and Boom Battle Bar, both in the experiential leisure space. And indeed, XP Factory is looking to become one of the preeminent experiential leisure companies in the UK, very fast growing and over time highly cash generative. Our two brands are both serving different purposes, but they have a very common customer at their core. So Escape Hunt is the global leader in escape the room experiences. We have an international business there, which is franchised internationally and owner operated in the UK. And our Boom Battle Bar business is at the moment solely in the UK, again, split between franchised and owner operated sites. And that focuses on competitive socializing anchored by bar. So, you know, cocktails, you know, at the core, surrounded by games that may be axe throwing, crazy golf, augmented reality darts, etc. So a really exciting, fast growing young company.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you've released on the 28th, you release your interim results. That's 6 months up to the 30th of June. So take us through some of the highlights of that, if you could, financially, operationally, Rich.
Yeah, of course. So I guess if I kind of take us back a step, 2022 for us is very much the year in which we're looking to build our foundations and really cement ourselves with that those building blocks required to become this highly cash generative business that we talk about going forwards. And for us, the markers of that, I guess, are threefold. Number one, we have to get to critical mass. So 2022 for us is very much a year of build. It's a year when we've gone from a negligible footprint on Boom Battle Bar to really quite a significant one by the year end. And I'll touch on that specifically in a moment. It's a year where we need to continue to grow our pre-existing business, Escape Hunt, in order to truly have critical mass and good representation across the country for both businesses. Market number two is doing it in a way that really resonates with customers. There's no point having a lot of sites if you're operating a business that doesn't really kind of meet the mark, so to speak. So again, we'll talk to the successes there, but really doing it for customers is the key. And market number three, I guess, is really the manifestation of numbers one and two. If you get one and two right, then hopefully you can show that in the case of Escape Hunt, you've got the continuation of very, very strong box economics. And I'll talk to that. And in the case of Boom, which is a very, very new business, you want to be able to show that the box economics are coming good in the way that we'd hope they would as the business matures. So I guess taking those three markers in turn, critical mass has really quite significantly enhanced. So at the beginning of the year, we had six Boom sites. By the end of the half, we had 17. As we're sat today, we have 21. As we're sat next week, we'll have 22. And indeed, we had a target of 27 sites by the end of the year, which will be met. So the 21 sites we have today are accompanied by five additional sites It for Boom, which are currently in build, opening over the next very small number of weeks, with that final 27th site just about to go on site for build. So a really very, very significant increase in scale on the Boom side. And on the Escape Hunt side as well, absolutely growth there too. So, you know, at the end of the period, so at the end of 30th of June, we had 19 owner-operated sites. And today we have 21. And again, we're opening another two before the end of the year. So really significant growth in terms of the number of units we have across both businesses. And you're seeing that represented even in H1. So you're seeing in H1 our group revenues of £8 million. And that sits obviously materially ahead of last year, where the equivalent period was 1.2 million. But I should counter that, of course, you know, much of our business was closed for COVID in half one. So perhaps a more relevant indicator in the context of growth is to compare back to FY19, where our full year revenues were less than £5 million. So £8 million in H1 versus full year revenues in 19 of less than £5 million really is an indication of scale. But of course, in H1, we were very much building and had very few of the Boom sites trading through that period, certainly owner operated. So we would expect H2 to be quite significantly larger than H1. And all those things combined, I think, really give you a flavour for the scale that we've achieved.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I mean, I looked through the interim results and they were very impressive. And you know, the growth, the site openings, everything, like you say, it's a year of build and it'll just get better operationally as you go on. But at the moment, you know, we are in a bear market. Sentiment is low and people are focusing on the worries and the risks rather than the rewards. And so let's talk to that a little bit, because there's been a lot of worry about the cost of living squeeze in regards to consumer discretionary spend, energy costs, labour costs. So talk us through this. You know, how are they affecting you, and how has trading been since June then?
Sure. So I'm obviously not going to sit here and suggest that, you know, as an industry, or at least us as a business, we are going to be completely immune to those pressures. Of course, I'm not going to suggest that. But what I would say is that at this point, we're sat here today really not having felt it yet. And we're not feeling it. And I guess when I say not felt it, what I guess I'm referring to in that case is probably more the consumer demand element, because, of course, the pressure is twofold. There is consumer demand pressure, but there is also supply chain pressure with utility pricing, etc. So I think if I take those two points in order, on the consumer demand side, as it stands today, our trading is really very positive. We talked in our interim results on Escape Hunt, which is, of course, our older, more mature business, and therefore the one with a good counterfactual set of data last year. And our like-for-likes were really positive. So our like-for-likes post the half end have been very, very positive, 8% growth underlying. So that's a really strong position to take, especially when you consider that in that counterfactual set, you had some VAT benefit coming through as part of the COVID support package. And also you had that very widely accepted COVID bounce back in demand, which probably strengthened demand somewhat. So seeing strong like-for-like growth versus that equivalent period is a really good marker of success, I would say, for Escape Hunt. And moreover, Escape Hunt continues at a site level to deliver well in excess of its 30% EBITDA target. So, you know, H1, we delivered 39% on the EBITDA side. So that business seems to be standing up very, very well. If you look to Boom, it's a new business, so we don't have the data set last year. But what we can see is very, very significant growth, targets being beaten. We can see site records being set, not quite every week, but certainly within our owner-operated estate and our franchise business, sites are setting records at least once every couple of weeks, I would suggest. So growth very much in the right direction. And when you compare those numbers back on the Boom side to our own internal forecasts, you know, the franchise estate is trading almost exactly in line with the targets that we had. And indeed, the box economics for our Boom sites, again, are really starting to show very, very strong, strong numbers. So, you know, we're starting to see this conversion back to, you know, mid-20s EBITDA, which is what you want to see. And remember, we're still really young. We've still got an awful lot of sales growth to come. We're seeing this growth. We know that growth leverages operating costs. So all in all, I'd say the box economics are very, very encouraging on both businesses. So why is it then that we feel that we're not yet getting quite the same sense of customer distress, if that's the right phrase, as perhaps some other businesses in our industry? I guess our customer on average is 20 to 35 years old. I would suggest on average, they're not quite so affected by mortgage rates. They're probably not quite so affected by utility costs, and typically they might be a little lower a proportion of spend. But moreover, we've been able to hold really quite accessible pricing in both businesses. Yeah. And the reason that we've been able to do that, I guess, is born of marker number two. You know, I said that actually this consumer and sort of recessionary kind of comment comes in both directions, supply and demand. On the supply side, if you like, we're not as exposed as a lot of other businesses in our space. We're not as exposed because, firstly, in our particular business, our GPs are very, very high. On the boom side, we'd be in the mid-80s. And the reason for that is that we have game revenue, which is a significant part of sales, which has very, very, very high GP, as you would imagine. And then ostensibly drinks, which, you know, drinks are, you're going to run in the, 80-odd% GP mark. So landing in the mid-80s is a very, very good place to be. Food represents a very small proportion of our sales in boom. And similarly for Escape Hunt, very high margins for all the obvious reasons. We just don't have cost of goods in that business. So that gives us a degree of insulation. And if you compared, let's say, boom to a typical restaurant business, if our start point sees us delivering GPs in the mid-80s versus a restaurant business, which might be in the mid-60s, when you compound that with the fact, you know, food pricing is looking to increase 20 to 25%, that puts a real pressure on GP that almost certainly has to get pass through to the customer in terms of increased pricing. Yeah. You compound that further with the utility requirement that is needed in order to produce food. Kitchens are highly energy inefficient. They are very resource intensive. Yes. But we don't really have that dynamic. So again, in a restaurant business, if your utilities might be 8% of sales and then the price is double, that's a really significant part of your P&L. Whereas for us, if they're 2% of sales and they double, it doesn't make so much odds because we would expect to be flowing through in terms of higher EBITDAs anyway. So I guess those dynamics give us a fair degree of insulation in absolute terms, but they also mean we're not as required to push price through on the consumer.
So
it's a really long-winded way of saying, as we go into what is potentially a time of, you know, tightening of pockets and tightening of purse strings, not being able to retain accessible pricing, I think, is really important. And I think we're going to be able to do that. And hopefully we'll continue to be able to ride the storm.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It's very interesting. I mean, looking at AIM, I mean, yesterday was 400 days since the high on AIM, and it's down 40%. Now, everything's been dragged down pretty much, you know, all leisure businesses. But like you say, you are a different offering here because your demographic is 20s. Now, if you look at typical restaurants, they're probably like an older age group there, so that they're more affected by energy bills going up. And when I was in my 20s, my priority was socialising, you know? That was it. So you can see, you know, if you're worried about energy bills at 20-year-old, they're not. They're more worried about their circle of friends. And so you go out and it's more, I think your business is more an events business almost. People, it's a special event. You go out and do the, it's not like the run of the mill, just go into a burger joint or something like that, or just go into the restaurant for an old. So it is, I suppose, it's more attractive from that level, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, as I say, I'm not going to sit here arrogantly and suggest for a second that we're entirely insulated. But I would again come back to the point that for generations, alcohol particularly has been a real galvanizer of, you know, people and the thing that people do together. We saw it in COVID. What came back quickest, you know, what on a reopening, alcohol-based businesses came back the fastest, perhaps unsurprisingly. And, you know, the cliched response is always, well, you know, in times of recession or, you know, and or depression, that fewer larger purchases get made. You might, you know, make the decision not to buy the next car. You might make the decision not to go on holiday and actually spend more money socializing. It's a bit of a cliched response, but actually I do think there is some, I think there's some depth to it because we certainly experience it. We experience it coming out of the back of COVID and, you know, hopefully we can continue to. And what I would say is, you know, that one of the things we can control internally is our obsession on delivering the best possible customer experiences, because the extent to which, you as a customer are currently going out four times in a month and you might have to cut that back to two, you have to be sure that as much as possible you're at the forefront of that consumer psyche and you really are delivering. So that, you know, if I'm making the choice between, you know, four nights out and two, then I'm still at the top of the list. And that's why we obsess about these customer rankings, customer scores.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? Just looking at the chart, there's as much fear around now as there was pre-COVID. I mean, like I said, you've been as oversold now as you were, you know, when COVID lockdowns happened. And looking back in hindsight, that was a very good time to take a position because the maximum fee was priced in. So, and that's where we are now. Everyone's so fearful and they're not looking at any reward. They're looking at all the risks, which is not a bad way to invest. But if you just stand back and wait till everything gets rosy, you've missed out the opportunity, you know? So, yeah, okay.
I think that's right. And as I say, I'd always bring you back to those three markers. You know, do you have critical mass enough? Are you delivering for customers? And do the box economics stack? Because if those three things are true, then you'd want to believe that markets rationalize at a point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, talk us through, you acquired the franchisees, the Boom franchisees of Norwich and Cardiff. Why was this then?
Well, it was opportunistic, if I'm honest. We're always, you know, looking for great returns on capital. The measure of our internal market of success is how quickly we can return on the capital we invest. And whilst we are absolutely wedded to a franchise strategy and an owner-operated strategy, sometimes you get chucked curveball that meets your investment requirement and you have to execute. And in both cases, it was opportunistic for different reasons. In Cardiff, we had a wonderful franchisee who, young guy who'd done an incredibly impressive job of building, you know, almost without doubt, the best venue in Cardiff for young people to go to. I think the numbers spoke for themselves, you know, circa £4 million of revenue in the 12 months to June. So, you know, a really, really, really strong performing business. But he also recognized that, you know, to truly step up his own facility within the business, he really needed to be able to get to 5 to 10 sites in order to have a team and so on. And as a young guy, he just didn't have the capital to do that. And so he came to us and said, look, you know, I'm interested perhaps in selling it. Would you be interested? We were delighted because the return on capital profile was outstandingly good. And indeed, the way we structured the deal, actually, you know, 2/3 of it will be self-financed out of the cash flows from that site anyway. So it's a really good deal for us. It worked for him. And we're delighted to have Cardiff back. In the case of Norwich was a slightly different opportunity. So in the case of Norwich, again, a lovely gentleman who had a Boom. In fact, Norwich was the first Boom to be opened. And he built that site. He traded it. He had a couple of other businesses as well. He traded it very well. The view had been to pass it through, to pass the businesses through to his family at a point in time. And it became clear that actually that wasn't likely to manifest itself. So at that point, he made the decision to sell and go and take a slightly different direction. And we were delighted to step in. And, you know, on Norwich, it's a much smaller site than Cardiff. It'll probably do, you know, $1 million to $1.3 million in sales, something in that ballpark, but it's highly profitable. And he'd already made his money back. We paid £100,000 deferred. And that will more than pay for itself in 6 months of cash flow. So it's, again, it's a very, very, very strong return on capital message for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's very interesting. It did 4 million in the 12 months up to June, and that was including some of the lockdowns, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's a great site. Very, very, very good site.
Tell us about the 3 years. I said it's a year of building, a year of growth there, positioning for the future. And so, and you've got some, like I said, you mentioned previously, ambitious opening targets for year end. So are you confident hitting those? Because if you go back to the start of 2021, I think you had 8 escape rooms, pretty much that's it, or 8 sites, that was. And now, if you look where you are now, phenomenal.
Just opened the 9th. As we went into COVID, we just opened the 9th in the UK, so 2020. And then, as you know, we used that COVID period to really start accelerating the growth for Escape Hunt. We were incredibly lucky to be able to raise money through that period. And we absolutely doubled down on growth. We were getting, you know, the better property deals, or certainly the best property deals that we'd seen. And then, of course, the extension of that was to go even more aggressively, which clearly led to the purchase of Boom. As you know, we've talked about this before, but really the driving force for the purchase of Boom was twofold. One, it was how can we do more for the customer set that we have? You know, there are obviously very sensible reasons to want to do that. And two, how can we do that in a way that absolutely allows us to exploit what we at the time considered to be a really likely to be short-lived but golden period for property acquisition? And so with all those things as given, you know, yes, the site growth has been fairly remarkable over the last 12 months, some 12 to 15 months. Yeah. But I'm incredibly pleased that we've gone through that. I mean, obviously it's quite painful to grow at that pace in some regards. So to have gone from almost nothing to this 27 units on the Boom side by the end of the year is testament to the teams that we've recruited around it. But it sets us up incredibly well for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going from that 8 or 9 escape hunt rooms sites to now what, 21 year end and 27 Boom Battle Bars plus all the franchises.
We'll have,
of course,
23 escape hunts at the year end. In the year, owner operated plus the international business.
Yeah.
But the end of 23.
And it's very important. You know, you're getting loads open, and especially you mentioned, you know, the revenue will be back weighted to the last quarter, and of course in leisure and activity you can see that. But because I mean, I even judging on my own behaviour, I tend to go out 2-3 times more in the last, you know, towards Christmas than I do the rest of the year. So the footfall is going to be you know, significantly increased. But is it possible in any way to judge? Because of course you said Boom, you didn't have the data last year. Is it possible to judge the comparison in regards to Q4 compared to other quarters? I mean, you've worked in similar industries. What's the like for like here?
I think you can, and I think specifically for us as XP Factory, we've actually got more emphasis on Q4 this year than we will ever likely have on Q4 again. And the reason for that, I guess, is threefold. One, we have the underlying indexing of Q4 being high, and I'll talk to that in just a sec. But two, we've got obviously a very large collection of young sites all maturing quickly. And so, you know, clearly that they are right in the peak of their maturity curve, a lot of them running through Q4. So that gives you an over-indexing Q4 per se. And then, of course, we're still opening sites really at quite a pace. I talk about having 21 booms today, and I talk about having 27 by the end of the year. Clearly, those are going to land in Q4. I talk about the additional escape hunt growth. And obviously, you've seen, you know, the sites just growing. So we've got this real compounding effect of dynamics that come to grow into Q4. But in terms of your specific question about how you would expect to index, I think hospitality businesses and entertainment businesses over this period, of course, your behavior personally is very much aligned with what we've seen over years and years of the market. We would typically expect to index kind of 1.2, 1.3 versus the year.
Wow. Yeah. That's, yeah, and of course you've got some big ones. I mean, we can't go without mentioning, I mean, I know, you know, you've got a load of sites, of course, but you must be quite excited to get one in, slap bang in the middle of London there in Oxford Street. That's going to be busy, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, just delighted. It's a fantastic site. It is truly a flagship unit we're incredibly privileged to have been able to achieve. Don't get me wrong, it's been a massive frustration in terms of the delays to its build. I think we've talked about that quite significantly and at length in the past. But now that it is there, it is very, very close to being handed over. It'll open to VIPs at the back end of November, and then we'll be trading through. To have that site open will be wonderful. It galvanises so much of what we've been looking to achieve over the last sort of 2 or 3 years, I would suggest. And having both Escape Hunt and Boom Battle Bar represented in that prime central location will be a very, very exciting place for us to go.
Yeah, I was trying to weigh it up and thinking, well, Cardiff's a very busy site. 12 months, they did 4 million pretty much with lockdowns.
Correct.
And that's 5,500 square feet.
Yeah, and Cardiff's a little bigger than that, to be fair. But
is it? Okay.
But Oxford Street is definitely a little larger. And you know, certainly we're very, very encouraged and excited by, you know, what with the wind in the right direction that site can deliver.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so looking forward strategy, you mentioned this as a year of building, but talk us through the strategy going forward in regards to UK and internationally, some people have asked about, and also B2B, if you could, and what's the strategy there?
Sure. So in the UK, that is clearly our focus, as you can imagine. Obviously, on the Boom side, we are only in the UK on Boom at the moment. On Escape Hunt, we have the split between the international franchise business and the UK owner-operator business. So I guess if I take the two businesses in turn, our focus and objective on Boom at the moment is very much the UK. when you run through such an aggressive period of build, you know, what you then have to do is double down on execution. So that will be in the UK. It will be about making sure these sites are really kind of firing and growing in the way that we achieve with Escape Hunt. So that will keep us in the UK, certainly at least initially. It will see us continue to grow in the UK. We talked about having 35 sites by the end of next year. We have a pipeline already in place to support that. So we will continue to grow the Boom business in the UK. At the moment, there will become a juncture at which we need to make the strategic decisions. You know, if we believe at that point that there is a really huge runway for units in the UK for Boom, you know, let's say, for example, we get to a place where we think the runway can exceed 100 units, then that is about, you know, either going hell for leather, really owning the UK, or, you know, potentially strategy number two, we start to go abroad, we start to think about other markets. If so, what markets? That strategic decision is not yet on the table. At the moment, it is going to be about execution, continuing to roll out, but in smaller volumes, clearly, than the crazy year we've just done, and really getting all sites to fire and to really start to leverage those operating costs in the way that we've achieved with Escape Hunt. And I suppose for Escape Hunt itself, you know, the strategy remains as was. We continue to own or operate in the UK. We continue to nurture a franchise business internationally. Nothing really changes there. That's very much what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how is B2B going? Because you know, I remember one event you put on was over 300 people in several different countries at the same time. And so that's very scalable, isn't it, that kind of business?
Yeah, that B2B, specifically the B2B that you're referring to was with Escape Hunt. And it was actually while we were locked down and we pivoted somewhat into those digital experiences. Mm. And the reason that was so relevant at the time was because Escape Hunt physically wouldn't have been able to host so many people in sites. As you know, Escape Hunt is a low-dense model and a really, really lovely model on that basis. But it does mean you're limited, you know, to sort of 40 or 50 people max per site at a time. So that digital proposition that you have really allowed us to scale on the Escape Hunt side. Of course, the beauty with Boom is that we don't have those same constraints. And indeed, we're already seeing, I mean, if I take the O2 as a good example, the O2 through September hosted three corporate events on the bounce week on week, each of which had between 300 and 400 people. And they were booked out events and each of them was attended by between 300 and 400 people. Because, of course, that's what you can do when you have scale. And that was one of the reasons for wanting to do it. So as we move into Q4, Christmas party season, obviously we would be expecting and indeed are starting to see really, you know, increasing B2B participation.
Yeah, it seems Boom Battle Bar is perfect for corporate Christmas, isn't it? Because, you know, many people are dragged along to Christmas parties and they, you know, the sort of management trying to arrange some fun. But Boom Battle Bar does it all for you. The management don't have to come with some games or stuff like that. It's all there. It's all done for you. Just go there.
Yeah, I think what it does, it allows you as a corporate to really cater to a very varied collection of staff. You know, some who might like one game much more than another, but at least we have such a variety of things there. And moreover, if that gaming element isn't your bag, very few people fail to enjoy a Christmas cocktail and a little bit of food and a beer or two. So it is. It's a very good proposition, unfortunately, one that's being well sold at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, cool stuff. Okay, if you could, Richard, give us three quick reasons then in summary why someone should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add XP Factory to their watch list, if you could.
Great. So I guess number one is that we are continuing to roll out some really exciting sites, and that increase in scale allows us to be what we believe we are by a stretch the fastest growing leisure business in the UK. And so that in and of itself is exciting if you believe in the future. I think point number two will be are continuing to show that the box economics not only are coming good in line with the targets that we set for ourselves for mature businesses, but hopefully over time are getting to that point quicker and quicker and quicker, which is exactly what we saw with Escape Hunt. And so it's point number three is that you should follow businesses, in my view, that you have the opportunity both to invest in, but also the opportunity to experience. I think there is something very, very real about businesses like ours, where you can come and feel it on a Friday night, a Saturday night, feel how vibey it is. It's a very real-time customer experience. And the reason I would implore people to do that is because we're incredibly proud of the customer experiences that we offer. Fortunately, that's being borne out in the results that we see. And those three things together, I think, are very good reasons to follow.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, with Boom Battle Bar, you know, the social media aspect of it, you know, is, I mean, a lot of people in the chat group there are looking at the activity across Instagram, and even the bookings are already filling up for Christmas, you know. So it's, yeah, you can monitor it. It's very good. Richard, it's good to chat to you. Thanks for that. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future.
Really look forward to it. Thanks, Justin. Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.